Hi, this is Jason, aka Udver Nokai.
Hi, this is Chris the Tingler Capel.
And this is Peter Surplus Gamer Silk.
And a new episode of Tales of Monkey Island came out, and therefore we have a new podcast.
Yay.
So, Tales of Monkey Island, Lair of the Leviathan.
Yes, and beware, people, there will be spoilers for all three games.
Yes, we will be spoiling everything.
Do not go ahead. Yeah, do not go ahead if you haven't played it completely to the very end of
the Rosebud is a sled. They kill the shark at the end. We tell everything that happened.
And Van Winslow gets knocked out at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And Maru's in it, of course.
Yes.
Which shall we talk about first?
Sure.
That's pretty much my notes for the game while I was reviewing it. It's just Maru, tick.
Okay.
5 stars. There, yeah, goodbye. Got it.
Yeah, great job that they did with Murray, I feel. Agreed?
Yes. At this point, he's become kind of an obligatory cameo, I guess. And he definitely felt better implemented into the game than he had been in Escape from Monkey Island. Not that he wasn't amusing in Escape, but it did feel like, you know, it was just here's Murray. It was just an excuse to throw him in there. This time, they actually did a decent job of, you know, weaving him into the story, and you know, I like the neat way that he, you know, he fell right back in the chest. You know, he made his appearance. That's it. You know, I thought it was handled really well, and of course he was, you know, he was also really funny. His personality was completely intact, and you know, it was just well.
In some
done.
Ways, he's well. In many ways, he's actually more integral to it than he was in Curse of Monkey Island.
Yeah,
either he only had like one puzzle role there. And then otherwise he was pretty irrelevant, just great.
Yeah, it's probably his best part yet, really.
I appreciate the fact that he was a little bit more mean-spirited than I remember him. He was just, I like that.
Well, he's got to be getting fed up by now.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he didn't actually get a body back, but just couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah,
he's got that great line at one point, like, soon I will regain control of my limbs. Like, gotta feel sorry for him.
Yeah, well, Denny Doulk. Very, very glad they got him back.
Yeah.
Even more so than if Earl Bowen had come back from LeChuck or something like that.
Yeah, there's just something that Denny Doulk nails about that voice, and I can't quite pin down what it is, but it really does.
Over-the-top madness.
Yeah.
And he looks a bit more Curse of Monkey Island-ish as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was so
glad.
He was
just a basic skull in Escape, but yeah.
In Escape, he was just like this hot white texture. He was just this hot white ball, and that was, you know.
I was really pleased that they didn't try and go for some sort of stylized skull, because there's something just really pathetic about this sort of ordinary-looking skull that makes it funnier. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Everything. Mm.
And we can't really talk about Murray without skipping right to the end and the credit sequence.
Yes. Anyone want to do it? Can we do a good Murray voice?
I don't think I can do a good Murray voice, but it was great, wasn't it?
We have to use that. I'm sure... Zarin, are you listening? Put it on either the end of the podcast or at the beginning. Yeah.
That'll definitely happen now.
He knows what he means.
Yeah. So that just struck me as a really nice touch, and I thought that was kind of a theme of this episode. On the whole, is that there seemed to be a really good level of attention to detail and lots of lovely little touches that reminded me of the good old days, you know?
Yeah.
I agree.
we'll stick on characters and move on to Morgan. I think there's a lot to talk about with her. Yeah, well, I assume there's a lot to talk about with her. The dead silence.
I don't know. I don't know about Morgan.
Well, I think she's really building as a character.
Yes.
And that sort of, there's a definite hints of tension between her and Guybrush, and except Guybrush is completely oblivious to it for the most part.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess she's a good character. I just haven't really thought about it. You know, she slots right in there. I'm not annoyed by her as a character. I mean, the worst thing that they could have done is just put in this recurring character who's just annoying all the way through. That would have kind of spoiled things. But no, she fits right into the universe.
Well, they're grooming her as, you know, Guybrush's new girlfriend, and kind of like LeChuck and Elaine are being groomed as a new couple, and I'm interested to find out where they go with that, whether that's going to be permanent or whether they're going to switch back at the end. It's almost like they're kind of reinventing the relationship between Guybrush and Elaine, like it might be disappearing entirely.
I doubt that they'll go the whole hog with that, but I think it's interesting that they're playing with it. I like the fact that they're making it a bit more complicated, because it's always has been complicated. It was very complicated in Monkey Island 2. They aren't just simply a loving couple. I mean, they got there in the end, but there's been a lot of problems, so it's not like all that is going to go away.
It's a bit of a shame LeChuck isn't in this one, I think. More so than Elaine. I can accept him not being in it with how great it was.
Yeah.
Because he was such a big effect in this last episode. I'd like to see a bit more of him, because you know he's going to not be so nice later.
Well, I think it's, we're getting towards episode 4 of 5, so I think he's got to have a bigger role in the next one.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that in speculation, I guess.
Yeah, I've got that at the end.
Yeah.
Okay. You two have been very quiet today. Hey. Well, Peter, do you want to throw us any of your loads of things to talk about, things you were hinting at?
One thing that I really wanted to mention is, I wanted to talk a bit about the puzzles, but more in general, I think that they had, partially because of the way that they had to use fewer locations in this, because of the setting, I think they showed really good kind of design economy in this episode. And what I mean by that, in contrast with the previous episode, is that you had all these locations in the second episode, and while we kind of liked the fact that you could go hopping between these islands, which reminded us of the old games, there were those tiny little islands, and the only reason for them to be those three tiny islands was to make the finding the chest puzzle work. And then there was that island, the maze, the jungle maze, and the only reason for that was for the tortoise puzzle, to make that work. And it seemed like there were too many locations for too few puzzles in that game, whereas in this case there are a couple of locations, and it seems much more tightly designed, and I respect that a lot.
It feels like a less claustrophobic game than the second one, even though it takes place kind of in one location.
Yeah.
And inside a giant mouth.
Yeah. And they, even within that tiny location, they have that method of fast travel through the tubes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and which not only is a great thing for convenience, but they also incorporate puzzles into the tubes themselves. There are a couple of puzzles involving the tubes, so it's all much more compact as far as travelling around is concerned. But the puzzles seem much more densely packed into that, so it seems like a richer experience. That's what I thought.
Something I just realised, very loosely related to what you just said. That Iron Maiden, and that you have to untie the unclog the tube to get to.
Yes.
Where you get the torture book. Okay, is that supposed to be Pop-Up Pirate? The game.
What? Sorry.
Have you ever seen the game Pop-Up Pirate?
No.
Where there's the board game. Board game. It's like a barrel, and you put swords in it. And one of the sword holes else pops up this pirate, and that's the loser.
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with that. Maybe that's a reference that went over my head.
I just realised it. Yeah, I think it is. because there's a sword sticking out of it, and it is the right sort of barrel shape.
Maybe it's.
But now I'll have a look there. Mm. Yeah. Because it's been. I played it earlier on today, and it's been tickling my mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking, where have I seen that before? And I think I've just realised it, yeah.
So,
I wish I could remember all the in jokes in this episode. There were quite a few. I remember the Double Fine one, but.
Yeah, there was a scum one as well.
Good thing we suck so much about updating the in joke galleries, because we'd actually have a lot of work to do if we didn't.
Yeah.
I think I stuck one in for the first game, that's about it.
Does someone else then have anything to say about the puzzles or any of the specific puzzles? Because I think there's lots.
I loved the puzzles. I think, apart from Murray, the best thing about the game, about this particular episode, is how inventive they were.
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect to any of other Telltale's games, but especially with the last two, they were very adventure gamey puzzles.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing, but these ones just. Oh! So inventive.
Yeah.
They're so different.
I think they were well done.
Unique.
I mean, like I don't know if I'd call them the most original puzzles ever, but I think they follow in the tradition of Telltale's puzzles being actually organic to the story, and that they don't feel like tacked on, and they've just always been really good about that, and you know, they've only gotten better. But I mean, like what was the puzzle where you had to it was kind of this game's version of insult sword fighting, the insult staring contest kind of, and you had to walk around the environment and talk to the characters in order to learn new faces. That was like exactly like the poem puzzle from Great Cow Race. I really loved it.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And by the way, I thought the insult insult staring contest type thing was brilliant. By the way.
Yeah, I thought it was very cleverly done. Although my memory is so bad that I had to write down which things have been used already in order to figure out the last one to use.
Especially using it later on.
But
it's Noogie.
But it's like they left enough of you having to explore and do trial and error to make it a legitimate puzzle. But they didn't make it go so far that it became boring. And I think that was the problem with Monkey Combat, and even to some degree. Insult sword fighting in the original game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, memorable as that segment was, it was pretty tedious. I mean,
sure.
I think Telltale did a really good job of kind of, you know,
cutting to the chase,
putting their version of it in, because it seems like you got to have something like that in one of the games. And I thought their take was well done.
And I thought, and I think a couple of things in this series kind of reflect this as well, is that. This idea of this pirate face-pulling contest, it really harks back to a lot of things in the previous Monkey Island games that seemed kind of childlike. This kind of, the things that contributed to the idea that it's just a child's imagination of what being a pirate is like, rather than actual piracy. And stuff like a pirate pulling faces at another pirate in order to show their manliness, that kind of reminds me of all that stuff.
I just like Guybrush walking around going, arr!
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like the manatee puzzle at the end, that was very clever.
And that was kind of insult sword fighty as well, the way that she'd come closer or further away, depending on whether
it
you
It reminded
got
me of the fight against the Swordmaster, against Carla.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it reminded me a lot more of... that's a good comparison, but it reminded me a lot of that puzzle in Monkey Island 2, where you have to kind of try to win a lane back, and you have the three options where you can be nice to her,
or say something
horrible, or kind of say something in between that was
that's
kind
not
of
much
like...
a puzzle, that one. That's just all... That is all just nice stuff.
Yeah.
Of course it's a puzzle.
Like
it's a dialogue tree puzzle. You gotta figure that out. Oh, this one was more complicated.
Yeah, it's a more complex version of that. Yeah, yeah, that's a good comparison.
But it's just such random things you could say to the female one, yeah.
I have to say that I didn't get the most I could have out of that puzzle the first time I played it, because I managed to find the right responses the first time I did it.
I certainly couldn't. Some of them were really obscure.
Yeah.
I did. I just did three right answers, and I thought, "Oh, was that it?" But then when I went back through
it, with that. Some of them were obvious, but yeah.
When I went back through it, I realised that they were slightly randomised, the questions, and so there was more dialogue there than I had thought. And there's one like that earlier in the game, actually, isn't there? In the cages.
The quiz show type one. Yeah. That. Oh, that's clever with the remembering things instead of having objects and stuff.
Yeah. Because
I also really love the possession of the voodoo lady puzzle.
Oh yes.
I almost forgot about that.
I love what kicks it off. I love how the solution, to, you know, like the whole, it's all built. It's kind of kicked off by the fact that the voodoo lady warns Guybrush that the last time he screwed around with voodoo stuff, something horrible happened. So the first thing he must do is, you know, screw around with the locket. I don't know. I guess it was more amusing to me.
Very clever.
And
I could almost completely forget that.
Just another thing that I remembered about how cleverly the puzzles were designed in this one is that, you know, when you have to get all the different pirates to talk, something I realized on my second playthrough of the game today was that how it actually ends up you get the answer sort of depends on who you get to talk last. So when I first played through the game, I got Moose to talk last, and he just admitted that he was the one who kept the tongue of the manatee. But then on my second playthrough, I got Bugeye to talk, and he's the one that gave up the information where Moose just couldn't remember.
That's one of those qualities of a great adventure game that, like, you know, the designers, if they're going to make something that isn't so strictly linear that it's boring, they have to accommodate different scenarios and, like...
Well, yeah, because I was wondering what would happen, because I thought, well, what's going to happen if I just cut Murray's head off... Murray's head, that's weird. if I just cut the head off right away, is Moose just going to give me the answer without me having to find get the others to talk? But says... I don't think I had it, because he just can't remember, because he's too drunk and stuff. And
every once in a while when I play an old adventure game, I'll have a moment like that, and I think I've experienced it the most with Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It wasn't until I got the hint book for that game where I realized how much depth there was in it. Like, I mean, you pretty much every situation in that game, there are multiple ways to get out of it, and like you could never possibly experience them all unless you just replayed it a million times and tried everything. Anyway, that's just an observation about adventure games in general. It's like, in order to be well designed, you kind of have to provide content that the majority of people aren't going to see, just to close all the gaps.
Yeah, and I got a lot of new stuff when I played through the second time this time, but just by trying different things or doing things in different orders.
You didn't get the 100,000 grubs, did you?
I did not do that, no. But I love that you can do that. Yeah, if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about,
there's a news post on it.
There is a news post on it, but yeah, you can actually give Coronado de Cava 100,000 grubs to complete complete it that way, which is incredible.
Which is insane, because the fans who figured this out on the Telltale forum calculated that it would take like at least a month for you to do it if you did it without, you know, some sort of hacker-like workaround they did to actually find that YouTube video.
Yeah, and again, that's just attention to detail, adding in little stuff like that.
Oh yeah, remembering references. Yeah. There's the diving reference to Monkey Island 2 as well.
That was really, really nice. Yeah,
I completely geeked out when that happened. I think I did. I'm not sure whether I've ever squeed before, but I think I might have squeed.
Well, you have Jake to thank for that.
Yeah,
that was apparently his idea.
Oh, that is very good.
Thank
you, Jake.
It was just a brilliant moment, because as soon as I had heard that this episode might take place partially underwater, I was hoping that that music might come back, and I was really pleased when it did.
I like how I also like DeCava's version of the prison escape in Monkey Island 2. How he described his...
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like that aspect of his character, how he's like an even more insane version of Guybrush.
He's
the exact way I described it in my review. Mm.
He's definitely supposed to be kind of another adventure game puzzler in the same world, which is kind of weird. You can imagine that there's a whole other adventure game.
They do look a lot alike, really. Yeah, you look at the models when they're like posing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those similarities are supposed to be intentional. He's kind of like a. Yeah. He's kind of like some other. He's less like a Guybrush from another reality.
So what about the other characters? I thought that they did a lot more work this time in really making each and every character much more memorable. That's what I mean.
I think they tend to do a good job of that in general. But yeah, I agree. I also loved. I mean, this is about the music, but I love how Michael Land. You know, a lot of times in the Monkey Island games, when you have a bunch of characters, they'll each be given their own theme. And yeah. I loved how when you talk to all the different members of the Brotherhood, they each had their own little theme, and you know the music was all good.
Yeah.
It did make me miss the lack of iMuse more than anything, though, because it would just kind of abruptly cut to the theme that plays when you're just in the larger environment to the theme that plays when you're talking to a specific person, and you know if you compare that to like the Barbary Coast, which you know. Everything kind of flows together, and it's just this really amazing arrangement. It's just too bad they couldn't do that, but I'm assuming that's time and tech.
Yeah. I was going to say something else, but I've forgotten what it is. So someone else talk.
Characters, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I love. Yeah. I presume it was. It's a reference to Dead Cousin Ted.
Oh right.
Dead the Tentacle with like being able to talk to Santino and him not saying anything. Obviously.
I caught that too. I mean, it's either intentional or not, but yeah, that was definitely reminiscent of that.
Yeah, I liked it. I tell you what, the difference that I think it is you know the in episode 2 you had those two pirates arguing over the chest, and I can't even remember their names at the moment.
Yeah.
And
but to McGillicuddy's men, but to be fair, I mean the characters in Lair of the Leviathan or kind of had to be more developed because of how much more involved they are in the rest of the game. You know?
I guess so, but it just seems to me that in previous... like characters like that, the ones hiding in the chest, they are in the game a reasonable amount at least, but they both just seem to be variations on stupid, angry pirate, and even McGillicuddy himself is another kind of stupid, angry pirate. And... it just seems like more work has gone into making the characters memorable this time, whether it's just because there are fewer of them and they're slightly more important to the story or not. I just like the amount of work that's gone into them this time.
And of course, the fact that the characters are properly established makes the fact that, you know, when you fight them at the end, it's like, you know, you're fighting actual characters. You're not just fighting these nondescript, you know, you have a history with them. And it makes it it makes it different than it would have been if they were thinly drawn, or if you know, they were just random pirates.
Yeah, and sorry, of course, Chris. It doesn't. Yeah. Sorry, you.
What was I saying? Yeah, isn't Moose, what's his name from Telltale Texas Hold'em?
I mean, he's just that kind of dude bro personality. I mean, you could see him as. I don't know how close the models are. If that's what you're asking.
Well, that's the skinny pirate model with hair over the face to really disguise it.
Huh.
But they are much. We'll get to that sour point.
Yeah.
But they're much better disguised this time around.
Oh yeah, I think pretty good the way that they're disguised this time. It didn't even bother me. Well, to be honest, it hasn't bothered me a whole lot in the previous episodes. I've noticed it. It's been noticeable, but it didn't even slightly bother me this time that they were.
And I'll definitely agree on that front that the crew in this game, they definitely felt like they had their own distinct look to them. I mean,
more so
than McGillicuddy's men in the previous game, who just kind of looked like the pirates from the first game, kind of redressed a little.
And
but this, yeah, I mean, these guys all look different. I mean, they were distinct characters.
Yeah,
they looked like distinct characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Yes. who else is there? That's it. Oh, yeah, the manatees, I suppose.
Yes. I liked the manatee's personality when you got to talk to him, even though it was just text. I liked how, really, he was just kind of a little bit pathetic. And yeah.
They called Guybrush Plankton.
Yes.
Anyway, should we move on to the story and our predictions?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Well, yes.
There was a story, yeah.
Well, there's yeah. Well, to be fair, the story in this one is more sort of a big obstacle before getting the sponge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a stumbling block. Yeah. Bit, and rather than actual, well, it's a key part of the story, but it's the middle act. That, but it doesn't need to push on the story as much. Well, it does.
Although, as you mentioned before,
I've contradicted myself already. He does get the sponge finally. Yeah.
Sorry, it's also a lot of. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to say, as you mentioned before, Morgan's character development plays a lot, or probably will play a lot into the story as we move towards the end.
Yeah. It's a chance for all the individual things to wrap up and continue, rather than the whole story as a whole move on dramatically.
Okay, Jason, you may talk now.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say that even though the characters may not have moved a whole lot geographically, I think that like the relationship stuff that got built upon is going to be key in the future episodes. Also, I mean, the function of the episode was also to pay off some things that were introduced earlier on in the game. You know, we finally met Dekava, who... You know, he was just sort of this unseen character in the first two games that was constantly talked about. So, you know, you finally got to meet him.
Sure.
So.
And the fact that you found the sponge, that can't be underestimated, you know. Right. The sponge is found now, you know. Tiny as it may be.
Did we predict the tininess thing? I know I certainly...
I think someone might have said something.
I can't remember if I said it on the podcast.
Yeah, you might have done. It was good
it was just one of the comic timing things that just had to happen, really.
Yeah, the visual gag was well done. Because it looked like there were these big steps and everything. It was good. Yeah.
Again, a kind of gag that could not have been done without being made with that kind of an engine. I mean...
No, not easily, anyway.
And the facial pulling thing, especially.
Yeah.
That couldn't have been done in even the Grim Fandango engine, I think.
Mm. Yeah,
Scum would find it difficult.
So,
Okay, predictions. Where we're going to go? Do we think we're going back to Flotsam the next time?
Yes. I think almost.
Yeah, that does seem
just
to be.
Just for the courtroom. Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, she is dragging them back to Flotsam for decisions, isn't she?
Yeah.
Isn't more.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was the courthouse that you could that you kind of conspicuously couldn't go in the first episode.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
And didn't they say, there's a sign on the door saying something like the judge will be back in 3 months or something like that, hint, hint.
Right.
We're definitely at least partially set in on Flotsam the next episode, although I think it'll be at night.
I hope there's other things as well, though.
If we'll get to explore the island, even if they might just cut to the interior of that courthouse, and who knows what happens next. But
I think there'll be a lot more to this episode than just Flotsam Island again.
Mm. I hope so. Yeah. That'd be quite disappointing if it was just Flotsam.
Well, you know, returning to islands has been part of the games, and Monkey Island 1.
It depends what they do with it, I guess.
In an escape from Monkey Island, you hit like two full sections are on Melee. You kind of go back and forth.
That's all the games. There's a bit where they go back to a previous island.
Yeah.
Less than Curse, but apart from that.
Well, yeah. I was thinking of Curse. I don't remember.
In the battle, you have to. Kenny.
The one screen? Yeah. Okay.
I guess.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean by Lesso and Curse. Yeah. I suppose you could argue they're going between Blood Island and.
I guess I just never viewed that as him leaving Plunder Island.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I didn't really either. I'm not sure that counts, but anyway.
But you do in the other two. Yeah.
I don't have too much speculation about the story. I was just curious if you guys think Telltale will...
I think all our stuff from the last one pretty much stands, because like I said, they didn't move forward that much in this episode, apart from finding the sponge.
I fully believe that Guybrush... Threepwood will be executed. And I mean properly.
Oh.
I was wondering if Telltale would actually try to combine all the episodes of this game into one game. Something they've never done before, and it's made sense in the past, but this one is the first one that seems like it would actually work seamlessly. Like, you could put the episodes of Tales of Monkey Island into a single... cohesive Monkey Island game. You could just get rid of the voodoo lady intros, and you could just have this. I mean, I think it would work well.
I can semi-answer this sort of in that it's something that's been requested a lot in the Telltale forums, and a couple of times.
You mean in general or for this particular game?
For this particular game.
Okay.
And the general response whenever anyone from Telltale has commented on it is that, yeah, that might be a neat idea for the DVD release or something, but there aren't really any firm plans to do that at the moment, but they've heard the idea, definitely.
The problem with that is that you'd have to cut out the end credits with Marion.
That's right. True. Yeah.
Which, frankly, I'm not prepared to do.
It probably takes slightly more work than just sticking one on the end of the other. There's probably other considerations involved in technical things.
I suppose you could just like cut them and stick them as the end credits on the main one.
I guess so.
We don't know. They might be even better in the next two episodes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, just going on from what you just said, Peter, yep. About Guybrush properly being executed.
Yes.
They won't turn Guybrush into a ghost pirate, will they?
I think they might, or something like that, a zombie pirate.
That's
I
think that's a distinct possibility.
I think that
it treads on the toes of poor old little Tiller a bit.
Yeah.
It would also be a nice little kind of a link between Guybrush and LeChuck's stories, you know.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
let me
Guybrush is kind of become an infamous pirate,
yeah,
in a way that was like would have been unthinkable in the first game.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you know, to have him get killed, I could see Ghost Pirate Guybrush. Mm.
Yeah. And I think at some point I think at some point before the end of the game, it will all resolve itself so that LeChuck ends up being his old self and Guybrush ends up being human again himself. And I think that's how it will all wrap up. But I think that definitely for a while, Guybrush is going to be properly dead and we are going to be controlling some sort of afterlife, sort of either ghost or undead version of Guybrush.
Yeah, I'm actually more excited to find out whether we're right or not now. I want the next episode.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the next one. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people reading the title of that, the episode 4, have just really wanted to find out what that means.
I just really like how they're kind of switching the roles of Guybrush and LeChuck, and it's sort of becoming more apparent.
Mm. Yeah.
That little story thread.
Although he has cured himself of the pox now by touching the sponge.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's the only one.
Yeah. It is good to see some more of the kind of mean side of Guybrush in this episode as well. That he's just perfectly happy just to screw over all those the Brotherhood and
and the way he keeps on getting himself to more trouble just because of his fat mouth.
I like that side of Guybrush, you know, the side that was really evident in Monkey Island 2 where he just nails Dan into a coffin and, you know, steal Wally's monocle, whatever, he just didn't care.
That was another reference I forgot, the monocle swipe.
Oh yeah.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that was good.
But yeah, that's why I was hesitant to agree with you about the originality of the puzzles. Certainly the puzzles were awesome, but they all seemed to be sort of like references to puzzles in previous games somehow.
But they were done in a new way, so it felt familiar
in a new way,
and different
sure,
at the same time.
Hard to please. They were done in a very new way, I'd say. They certainly feel like other puzzles being done before, but they were done in such a unique way that they weren't fine for me.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think in my crappy English way.
Is Jason still here?
English.
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, sorry. Yeah. I thought I'd
I was reading something.
You're reading?
Sorry.
Okay.
I got distracted.
Right.
But yeah, I think on some level that's what people want to see. It's almost like they want to see puzzles that are sort of familiar and new at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this works very well.
Very happy. I think this is not only the best Tales of Monkey Island episode. Yeah, I think it's the best thing that Telltale has done, and I think it's a really, really polished effort from them, and I at this point I couldn't be happy with it, and I hope that it gets better still.
Yeah,
I think I've said this before, but I think by the end of this is going to be, you know, a Monkey Island game that will very, very comfortably sit with the other ones as a worthy follow-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm very happy with it so far.
Cool.
And I highly doubt Telltale are going to drop the ball with it at any point in the next two episodes.
No, it's not there. They haven't historically done that with any of their previous series anyway, I wouldn't say.
Well, forget that. Especially as you two haven't played Wallace and Gromit.
Oh, I haven't played the last episode of Wallace and Gromit, that's true.
The last episode. I'm going to say sorry to Telltale for this, because you're doing a brilliant job with Tales, else, but I was really disappointed by the last episode of Wallace and Gromit. Not for any other reason, and then, well, there's several reasons, but one of which is just, it was unfinished. There was bugs all over the place, glitches. They felt rushed, and there's like one new location. That was my opinion. That's my opinion. As I'm the only person who played it, it's a bit staggered towards the negative.
Yeah, difficult to comment, but yeah. I did think it was strange how they just suddenly said, "Oh, it's coming out tomorrow."
Yeah.
So
it felt like they were desperately trying to keep to their schedule that they promised.
Yeah.
I think they could have put it off for another couple of weeks and
would have been okay.
No one would have minded if it was. But I think it was the end of the season.
Aren't the games like kind of the Xbox Live releases? Haven't they kind of stopped? Like they dropped off after episode 2 or something. I mean, I don't have an Xbox, but it seems that's something I remember reading on the forums. That the console release for Wallace and Gromit is kind of like stopped.
I don't know. I think it's just that
they come. I haven't been paying attention to me there by that. But anyway, but
I think they just come out further apart. Anyway, they've got to slot into Microsoft's whole schedule, and they basically decide when games come out.
Well, I've only played the first 3 episodes of Wallace and Gromit so far, and I really love them all. But I mean,
I did too. But
so far, I can't comment on the finale.
Yeah,
I did. Really enjoy the first 3, particularly Muzzled.
Yeah, I thought that was very good episode.
The third one. But the fourth one just really disappointed me for several reasons.
Mm.
And the finale of it is really, really annoying, which I won't spoil.
Okay. Well, since we've already moved on to other topics, shall we look at our other things that we've got to discuss?
Yeah. Shall we have a Brutal Legend? As Kroms will probably kill us if we don't.
Of course.
Hunt us down.
Well, I have compared to you two, at least, I haven't been as exposed to what's been released for this game most recently, so I'm actually really excited to be able to, you know, buy the game on the 13th and pop it in and just kind of have like a virtual experience of it, because I avoided the massive playthrough videos and I did watch the prologue cinematic and immediately regretted it, but I at this point in the game I've done such a good job of staying away that I'm just not gonna look at anything really until I get the game.
Sure. So, I mean, without giving anything away, I think I think it was a really good demo. I really enjoyed it.
I think we're safe to give things away, but there's not much to give away, really.
Well, if you haven't really heard anything about the game at all, like Jason, there might be things to give away. And you know, I think I just think it was a good demo. I'm like you. I am a bit disappointed that I did see the big long videos, Chris, because you know, it kind of spoiled the demo.
it
basically was the demo. I saw 2 different videos of that demo being played by people. One by Tim Schafer, and another by the GiantBomb.com people. And
I just wasn't actually expecting there to be a demo. That's why I watched it. Them.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't expect that. Just probably because Psychonauts didn't get one, and so,
yeah. Yeah. So the only thing that I really got out of the demo after seeing it already was, oh, yeah, it the controls work, and it plays fine. So as expected. So, but I'd already, you know, seen all the jokes and all the humor in it. So, so I'm just looking forward now to playing the rest of the game because I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah, right now I'm just kind of enjoying all the insane press and media attention that the game is getting. It was so thrilling to see Schaefer on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and it's just nice to see, like, you know, Psychonauts, when it came out, it was like, it was really exciting, you know, everybody was stoked for it, but it was just this select handful of people who were stoked for it. Yeah, nobody else in the world knew what it was, whereas like now, you know, nobody doesn't know what Brutal Legend is, and it's the EA has so successfully managed to turn it into this giant must-have, you know, game that you can't not know about, and that's just really different. It's a change of pace for a Tim Schafer game, as someone from the fans' point of view, I think.
I mean, they did Majesco just screwed up Psychonauts off in so many ways. I mean, just for example, here in England, and game, it came about 6-8 months after the American release, and it was supposed to come out about 4 months, like at the end of the year. Had adverts everywhere.
Yeah.
Several magazines and PC Zone, etc., were all getting really hyped up for it and saying, buy it on November or else, and then it slipped.
Yeah. Very bad.
For months and months and months, and then just suddenly appeared in March. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really annoyed me.
I mean, I didn't think that I'd be praising EA very much. I mean, if you told me I'd be praising EA a couple of years ago, I would have been very surprised, but I think they've done an excellent marketing job. I think they knew exactly how to promote the product.
I'm still a little bitter about the lack of a PC version, but I do accept that EA have done a fantastic job marketing it, and that's mainly because I can't play it if it's not on PC. Well, this is just my personal situation come pretty much 16th of October, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally excited about playing Brutal Legend. I wish I could express that better. It's just that I've been sort of dormant on all things for that game because we're so close now. I just want to be able to tear it open and just enjoy it on day one.
It's like you're about to rape it.
No. Tear open the packaging. Games traditionally come in cellophane that needs to be teared open in order to get to the box, you know? And, you know, what if they gift wrap it? That's two things I have to tear open. There's potentially a lot of tearing that will precede the game. It made sense, Chris.
Anyway.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes. What was I gonna say now?
I'm gonna say that I'm just gonna go ahead and pimp Bill Tiller and say that because it is October, now's a good time for everyone to replay A Vampire Story or play it if for some reason you didn't play
it
yet. I was in Target the other day and I saw physical copies of the game on the shelf for $20, and that was kind of mind blowing to me. It's like I really didn't expect to still see that game in stores and, you know, kind of a non game specific store, and that was really cool to see. But even if you can't find it in a store, it's very, very easy to find in like 350,000 digital distribution outlets. So go play A Vampire Story, people. Thank you.
Ah, cool. So that's what the advertising they need.
Yeah.
I needed for Psychonauts.
I'm sorry, on some topics I just get out of hand.
I still need to finish it. But yeah.
I haven't played it, actually, I have to say.
I'm worried about that sequel. Why haven't we heard anything about it? It's not good.
Well, yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
Yep. But Ghost Pirates apparently is on track, so.
Yeah.
At least there's that.
I haven't heard anything about it in a while, but yeah.
Yeah.
About a month, but yeah.
Yeah, but at least you occasionally hear things about that game that give the impression that it's not canceled.
Yeah.
Can't say the same thing for Vampire Story 2.
Yeah.
Telltale Serious Games new franchises?
Yeah, yeah. Just to remind you guys, to remind those listening, Telltale said point blank a while back that October would be a month that they'd be announcing some new series. Well, announcing either new series or series being continued. So that's what they're referring to.
A new serious one as well.
So I think it's probably safe to say that they're going to say a bit more on Sam and Max season 3.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming, but you know.
Yeah.
Monkey Island is a very valid excuse. But exactly. I can't wait to get back into Sam and Max and see what's up with the possessed DeSoto.
I wonder whether
I completely forgot about that.
I wonder whether they might be I don't want to say rebooting, but
redoing it in the wake of Tales of Monkey
Island. I wonder whether they're going to be... It's not just going to be a continuation from Season 2 in the same way that Season 2 was a sort of continuation from Season 1. I wonder whether they're going to sort of take it away from that stuff a bit. I'd like to see them introduce some new in-jokes and new characters and stuff like that into the...
I think they have to.
I'm happy either way, but
such a bit with Tales.
It seems that all the lessons that get learned from one Telltale series tend to almost always benefit the next one. So it'll be interesting to see what Sam and Max looks like. I mean, it's already been 2.5 years since season 2.
Wow.
So I mean, Telltale's done
years?
So much. Yeah,
really?
They did Strong Bad and Wallace and Gromit and Monkey Island since then, and you know they've made huge strides, and it'll just be interesting to see how they return to be fair. I mean, I think it's fair to call Sam and Max their flagship series. I mean, if they have a flagship series, it would be Sam and Max. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they're going to be doing with it next. I think I'm more excited though to find out what their new stuff is going to be, because I'm always excited to hear about new franchises coming from Telltale.
They hinted that it wouldn't be necessarily a comedy game, their next franchise, so it'll be interesting to see where they go there. So far, CSI is their only serious one. And that's got a new game coming out, too. There's never been a release date on it, but it is the fall, so it's got to be soon.
Yeah, I wonder.
Hmm.
Anyway.
It's not going to be Loom, though. We're pretty certain it's not going to be Loom, aren't we?
Yes,
we're pretty sure it's not going to be Loom.
It's probably not going to be some sort of serious version of Day of the Tentacle either.
But speaking of Loom and LucasArts, Lucidity comes out in 4 days. That game just kind of came out of nowhere.
I know what you mean about the Loom thing. I don't know what specific point, the sort of otherworldliness.
Did you see the latest trailer for Lucidity?
Yeah, yes.
I really liked it.
Especially the bit at the beginning where you poke the grandmother.
I just think it's awesome and kind of surreal for there to actually be, for LucasArts to actually be putting out like an interesting looking game. You know, that's actually interesting.
Internally developed. You know? it's great. Yeah. But the only reservation I have is that we really don't have much idea at the moment of what the gameplay is going to be like, and I worry that that's going to be...
But we'll find out in 4 days!
I know, but I just have this worry that it's going to be great in terms of the look of it, and the atmosphere and the sound design sounds brilliant, but it's
basic.
Just going to be a bit bland to play, and I hope that that's not the case, because I think LucasArts really should be doing stuff like this. And
well, 4 days and $10 later,
we'll find
all
out.
Know.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know if this is these kinds of games are something they intend to do long term, because it sounds like this game was something the Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition team was kind of put on almost to kind of, I don't know, kill time. I mean, I don't know if this... I'm wondering if this is just some one-off project, or we can look forward to them continuing in this line. I guess the obvious answer to what I'm asking is whether or not it makes money, but...
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I just don't... we'll find out soon, as you say. I hope the gameplay lives up to the what looks like a really interesting aesthetic for the game.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm still going to get it on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday? Thursday?
Yeah. Wednesday.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Vegas Wednesday.
3 days then.
I'll buy it as soon as it's available because I want to support LucasArts doing this sort of thing, you know?
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. And supposedly Special Edition did well on Xbox Live and Steam, so...
It did. They said it surpassed all their expectations.
Yeah,
so that's just great to hear.
It is good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Monkey Island 2.
I mean, the game's gonna be $9, so...
Yeah.
How can you not buy that?
Yeah.
Okay, don't bully people into buying it. Come on.
If you don't buy this game... I will kill
the... Yeah, bully them into buying a vampire.
Yeah.
I am going to bully them into buying a vampire store.
God, yeah.
Man!
Really going for the hard sell today.
Jason is going to come around to your house and kill you.
Yes.
Tonight.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
So,
yeah. I mean,
so it's up to you to decide what will be better.
Everybody's so uptight about me murdering all of a sudden. Just
and raping.
Yeah. A lot of tearing for some reason is involved in the process.
Yeah, of course we've got the LucasArts things come out on Steam continually.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just hope they keep that pace up and they don't just like stop mysteriously.
So, I've been a bit out of the loop as far as that's concerned, so what's the latest stuff?
Well, they haven't... Well,
the,
no more adventure
the
games, but they've
Dark
done
Forces,
the... Well, let
Jedi
the Chris
Knight
say it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Entire Dark Forces, Jedi Knight series.
Yeah.
Including like Mysteries of the Sith, although there have been complaints about them.
Oh, really?
A little bit. Specifically Jedi Knight, which is missing the CD audio on it.
Oops.
Oopsie.
Completely. So no music. And the cutscenes and menu all play in a very small window. And 3D acceleration doesn't work on most modern cards.
Although
apparently there's a tweak for that.
That seems
and,
like a bit of a a foul up.
Also, the Super Nintendo Star Wars games on the Virtual Console. I mean, I think we can put that in the same category as the Steam releases. That's all clearly part of the same effort. I hope that Zombies Ate My Neighbors is soon.
It's been rated, I think.
Yeah.
That reminds me. There's another thing, isn't there? Handsome Halibut.
Yeah. What the fuck? The fuck is that, man?
What
Handsome Halibut.
Is it what's the Ron Gilbert scum one that wasn't long LucasArts? Am I thinking Freddy Fish?
No, that was Humongous. Freddy Fish?
The human.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, what if the sequel to that?
It's just weird, isn't it? It's just like, where did that come from? And
we know nothing. And we know nothing about it, right? Except that LucasArts is supposedly making a game called Handsome Halibut.
And
we know
that it is a real thing that they're working on because of the Twitter conversation between Mojo and LucasArts where they were being all secretive about it when who was it that asked them? I can't remember, but someone asked them about it and they said, "Ooh, isn't it more fun?"
Yeah,
not to know.
Doing our Twitter feed.
Yeah,
it's Remy. But
yeah, so they definitely know something about it. It's not just some weird glitch in the system or something. It is a real thing, but I can't think for
not a red herring.
Well, it doesn't have Star Wars in the name, so I'm gung ho about it. I can't wait to follow it up.
Yeah.
No Indiana Jones though, so I'm less gung ho about it.
Indiana Jones.
They really do.
Even though
Indiana Jones has had a recent release, they really do need to make another game like quick, fast, and in a hurry because it's
yeah.
Getting a lot of bitter disc. Still,
he just deserves
if
a
it wasn't
game.
For that. Yeah, if it wasn't for everything coming out since Start Off of Kings, I'd still be really bitter and running against LucasArts about that. But yeah,
well, it's just like it seems like they spent like all these years making this game, and then like what we got was kind of like a shell of it. Like not necessarily a terrible game, but it was just like this was not like what all that work was being put into. This is like some last second.
And all the concept art in the game though just sort of mocks it. So
yeah, like, and like our we've got a couple in our gallery, but like
it's all in the game.
There are places
it's all unlockable.
Yeah, but there's some somewhere in the internet they got some amazing concept art for like tons. I don't remember. I did unlock everything. I don't remember how much of it was in it, but yeah, I mean it's just like if you look, it's like the final game is clearly like the same story and the same basic idea and the same settings that were always supposed to be in there, but it's just sort of like it's not even comparable to what the game was supposed to be, apparently.
Yeah. But let's leave that before I start tearing.
The point is, LucasArts is actually doing things that are of interest to people who like interesting games.
And we'll ignore Republic Heroes or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Even though it'll probably be good, I just don't care, you know.
I've played the demo of it, it's not.
No.
Sorry, LucasArts.
So it's not good. You heard it from Chris. Republic Heroes is not good. Write up that.
Maybe the whole game might be brilliant.
Write up a preview of it. We need a preview.
Okay.
Basically, keep on doing good stuff, LucasArts, or Jason will come round your house and kill you, and
or whether or not you have, whether or not you got cellophane on you, it's not going to protect you. Okay.
God.
So, what else? Well, the other upcoming game would be Deathspank, which, I mean...
Which I noticed the trailer, watching it again recently, I think it uses the Sam and Max theme, doesn't it?
Does it?
Really?
What?
Listen again, it does sound very like the Sam and Max theme at some point.
I can't have been paying attention.
Well, I think it was like a month ago that Deathspank kind of had, we finally got kind of had some tangible information on it, but I don't think there's been anything... really lately.
And the screenshots of it, particularly of the sort of the piratey town, not so much look like Monkey Island, but I think it looked very like the screenshots for Good and Evil that were released before that game was canceled.
Oh, right. Yeah.
For those who don't know, Good and Evil was a game that was being developed at Cave Dog that got canceled when the company went under. It was...
by Ron Gilbert.
Yeah, Ron was working on it. Looked really cool.
I thought that probably because it's by the same people, but I just thought the graphics reminded me of the Penny Arcade Adventures stuff that Hothead have done.
Hopefully there's still more coming on that.
Sorry?
Apparently that is... Episode 3 is happening, but when is another matter.
Why don't we have any screenshots in our galleries? What the hell's the matter with you people? What do I pay you for?
Pay?
Wait a minute.
Did we take off or put back the Penny Arcade page?
We took it off. It's not related to Mojo.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. There, thank you. So what are you talking about?
Well, you can...
about Death Tank.
Hey, he can talk about it. I mean, you're just not going to put a database page on.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
If you think it's similar to Penny Arcade...
Well, what were you talking about with screenshots and things? Yeah, okay.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you when something's wrong, okay? That's my territory.
And then you'll...
I call the shots around here.
And then I'll know about it.
Oh, man.
The horse's head in my bed. seahorse's head.
Yeah, so that's one for the reference page, eh? The in-joke page. Anyway.
Handsome halibut.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, is there anything else? This is just getting absurd now.
Well, we're approaching the hour mark now, and I think we're pretty much done now. I mean, Lucidity and Brutal Legend come out like next week.
Yeah. So. Well, Lucidity comes out in 3 days.
Yeah.
Brutal Legend comes out on the 13th for
week after.
The U.S. and 16th the 16th for the Europeans and.
Ooh. Then sometime soon after that, we'll get the next episode of Tales of Monkey Island.
Yes, and then we'll be back to talk about it. Yes. Or just talk about ripping cellophane.
It's going to be a good month.
And Chris will hopefully not make that noise. It'll be a good podcast.
If I'm here, we'll have to find out of that. We'll have to stay tuned. But more on that later. This might be my last podcast if we can't work out through things. But we'll see. I'll still be around.
Nah.
Right then.
Calling from the background.
All okay.
Right. See you around.
Bye.
So sorry, everybody.